Welcome to Mysterious Goings On, the podcast about creativity, writing, and mystery. Every week, we talk about all kinds of great fiction and meet the people who write it. We also feature explorations about creativity in all walks of life. Your host, Alex Greenwood, will join you right after this.
Why do authors love mysterious goings-on? Let me count the ways, but here's a great one from author Linda Stuart Henley, author of Kate's War.
Well, thank you, Alex. I enjoyed the conversation, and I appreciated the fact that you were able to say all the right things, so I didn't have to say them myself, like repeatedly say, please read Kate's War. I didn't want to do that. That's not for me to say, but you could say it better, and you did. And thank you so very much.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, today on the show, we are thrilled to welcome back Matt Stewart. He's an Emmy Award-winning anchor and reporter at Fox 4 News, right here in Kansas City, Missouri. You may remember Matt beyond being that cool guy on TV mornings. Got to watch him. He's an author also, and he joined us in November 2022 to discuss his book, Unique Eats and Eateries of Kansas City. Don't worry, there's going to be a link in the show notes for all you folks who foolishly missed it. You're going to love it. Go listen to that. But today, we're going to play ball because we learned that Matt is also a diehard Kansas City Royals fan. It's a passion that has led him to embark on an ambitious project that's sure to captivate all you baseball aficionados and casual fans alike. His latest work is The Kansas City Royals, an illustrated timeline. And look, it's not just any book. It's a meticulously researched, lavishly illustrated coffee table masterpiece that chronicles the rich history of Kansas City's beloved baseball team. From their inception to the memorable two World Series championships, Matt's taken a deep dive into the Royals' legacy. And I'm going to tell you what, it's as enlightening as it is visually stunning. So how about this? How about I stop doing the chatter at the batter and we talk to Matt Stewart. Matt, welcome back to Mysterious Goings On.
Alex, thanks for having me back. And since you were talking about the beauty of it, I've got the book right here. So those that have video can see how beautiful it is.
It is beautiful, dude. Let's start right there, real quick. Where did you get all the pictures?
Through Getty Images. So Reedy Press out of St. Louis, they have a contract with Getty. And so it was fun for me because not only did I write the stories, but I picked every single image in there. And so I spent countless hours poring over different images, you know, from the inception of the team in 1969 all the way up to present day, trying to find the best pictures, action shots that would best capture, you know, the love that we have for the Kansas City Royals. And it is beautiful when you look at the pictures, a lot of color pictures, big pictures, just beautiful. I'm just trying to show some of the pictures, but I mean, it's fun. It was a lot of fun to put together, and people have been loving it. Anyone who's read it has loved it.
Well, you know, Kansas City is admittedly, our team's not the oldest team in the league. I believe we're an expansion team, right? It was a 60. Tell us a little bit about the history first, you know, because I know just enough to get it wrong. So tell us about the Royals. And then after you get through the basics of where they came from, tell us about why you become such a devoted fan of the Royals.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was born in 1975, so the Royals were already playing in Kansas City. So when I was doing the research, you know, you hear about the Athletics and you're kind of like, I don't really get it. That was before my time. And you just kind of ignore that whole piece of history of Kansas City. But if you want to go way back, I mean, the first professional baseball team in Kansas City was in 1884, and we weren't even calling it Kansas City. It was like the town of Kansas, or we weren't even really like an incorporated city at that time. But we had the Cowboys, the Union, we had all these different teams kind of coming through. The Blues ended up being our major minor league team. They played at the old Municipal Stadium eventually, but it was Blues Stadium at the time. The Monarchs played in that same stadium. And so you had one of the best Negro League baseball teams in Kansas City. You had the best minor league team, which was the AAA affiliate for the Yankees. So there was this man named Arnold Johnson, and he bought Yankee Stadium and Blue Stadium. So he owned the Yankees Major League Stadium and their AAA Stadium. Well, he wanted to own a team. So in 1954, he bought the Philadelphia Athletics and he said, I want to move them to Kansas City because I have a stadium there.
Oh.
So he moved them to Kansas City from Philadelphia, and they said, well, you can't own the Blues anymore. You can't own the stadium. So the Blues left for Denver. The AAA affiliate left. The city bought the stadium and renamed it Municipal Stadium. It was at 22nd in Brooklyn. Right. And the Kansas City Athletics started playing there. And everyone was excited. We have Major League Baseball in Kansas City, finally. And the problem was that Johnson was in cahoots with the New York Yankees. And what he did was all the great players that we drafted, we sent them to New York. And then New York sent us all their aging players. And so we were a losing franchise. All we did was lose. And Kansas City fans were upset. We were used to winning. So attendance fell off. The excitement fell off. Johnson died. And then Charlie O. Finley, a businessman from Chicago, bought the team. He tried to get people back by running all sorts of weird stunts. He had a petting zoo in the outfield. He had his mule, Charlie O., that he would ride in on. He brought Satchel Paige to come and pitch for the Athletics for three innings for one game. So he was doing all these things, trying to get people excited. And then we passed a bond to build the Truman Sports Complex, right? Okay, we're going to build these stadiums, but he wanted out. He's like, I'm done with Kansas City. I want to go to Oakland. And Major League Baseball let him leave. So he leaves. We have the money to build the stadium. And so Missouri Senator Stuart Symington went to Major League Baseball and said, if you don't give us a team right away, we're going to investigate you for antitrust laws, you know, because that you're a conglomeration, you're dominant as an MLB. So what ended up happening is they gave us a team right away, along with Seattle, the Seattle Pilots. I don't know if you heard of
No.
My team. They didn't last very long. They ended up moving, I believe, to Milwaukee. But anyways, we get our team in 1969, and we need an owner. So who's going to buy this thing? Well, Ewing Kaufman was a millionaire. He owned Marion Laboratories. It was a medicine company, right? He had these calcium supplements that he sold to pregnant ladies, and he made millions of dollars. So they came to him and said, will you buy this baseball team? And he goes, well, I don't know a lot about baseball. And his wife's like, Ewing, you've got to buy this for the city. It's like, all right, let's buy it. So he bought the Kansas City Royals, brought the team to town, didn't have a name at first, right? We didn't know what it was, just Kansas City's team, the Kansas City baseball team. And then he partnered up with the Kansas City Star, and we had a naming contest. And Royals ended up being the winning name. They had more entries for Royals than anything else, and it was thanks to the American Royal, named after the cattle livestock show down in the West Bottoms.
Oh, okay. See, have you ever, of course you've noticed this, and I'm not the first one, but have you noticed though that for a while there, it seemed like all the team names were of some, well, you had the Monarchs, you had the Royals, you had the Chiefs, you know, was there a Kings at one point? But I mean, yes. Always that kind of a thing. Was that just a coincidence that those names happened that way, where all the Kansas City affiliated sports teams seem to be like a top of the heap kind of
a royal theme? Yeah, no, I think it was just coincidence. But I also think that's probably one of the reasons that Kansas Cityans really loved that name, because of the royalty and because of the tie. When you think about the Monarchs, you're exactly right. Yeah, Monarchs, royalty. And it was funny because you would think, oh, well, if you're going to be Royals, you should probably be purple, right? Because you think purple is kind of a royal color.
Right.
But the reason they went with blue and white is because the Kaufmans were into horse racing, and that was their stable colors, was blue and white.
I love it. See, folks, you're not going to get this kind of detail just anywhere, and you're not going to find it all in one place. By the way, Matt's not even looking at notes. He's just telling us. So if you're not watching the video of this. Anyway, well, Matt, your last book, let's step back for a second here, because if folks don't know, Matt, you've written other books besides these. You've written fiction as well. You're a very accomplished writer. What came first on this? Now, I think on the Unique Eats, I don't know if that necessarily was your idea and you talked to the publisher, or it was a little bit of both. I don't recall, but I can go back and listen to the show. But this one had to be. Did you come to them and say, look, I really want to do something on the Royals? Or how was the synergy on that?
Okay, so you're exactly right. I mean, I wrote my first book back in 2012 and I self-published it. It was about my football playing career at Northwestern, walking on, earning a scholarship, our team being the worst, winning two Big Ten championships. It was so well received that I wrote a murder mystery, in a TV station. And then I wrote a time travel adventure. And so I was getting great reviews on these. Word was starting to spread that, oh, there's this morning reporter at Fox 4 that writes books. So Reedy Press out of St. Louis found out about this. And what they do, their model is that they hire people to write a book and a series of books, right? So Unique Eats and Eateries of Kansas City, it wasn't the first one. It's actually probably the 20th in that series. But they have them in all the different towns like Omaha and Chicago and Philadelphia. And they hire a writer in each city to write about that city. So they came to me and said, "We want you to write for us. What do you want to write?" And I said, "Unique Eats and Eateries of Kansas City," because I love food. I mean, who doesn't? And in my job, I visit a lot of restaurants. I know a lot of chefs. And so I love putting that book together and really telling the stories of all the restaurants, the history of it. It's not a recipe book. I have people come up, go, "Hey, do you have recipes in here?" I'm like, "No, this is a history book, not a recipe book." So after it wasn't even a year in of selling, it was about a year of selling. And the owner of Reedy Press said, "Hey, I'm coming to Kansas City. I want to get some beers with you." I'm like, "All right." He's like, "Look, your Unique Eateries of Kansas City is like our best seller. We want you to write another book for us." And so we were kind of spitballing some ideas. And he goes, "Well, we have this sports series, where you can talk about the teams in your town, but we had a guy just did something on the Chiefs." And I'm like, "Royals. Let's do Royals. I've been a Royals fan since 1987. I was in seventh grade and I became a huge Royals fan. We had the AAA affiliate in Omaha where I grew up. We'd go down to Kauffman Stadium, well, Royal Stadium at the time, to watch the Royals game. So I love the Royals. I was really excited about it." And he's like, "Yeah, but they're not really good right now. Do you really think that'll sell?" And I'm like, "Okay, touche. Yes, they lost 106 games last season. But here's the situation. The Royals have such a storied history. When you think about the 70s, they went to three straight American League Championship games, lost to the Yankees all three times. They went to the World Series in 1980. They won it in 85. Okay, then we had a little bit of a drought in the 90s and the 2000s. But then, hey, 2014 and 15 come around, and people remembered why we love the Royals so much. And even though we're struggling right now, and I should say right now, it's looking pretty good.
Good.
They did a good job in the offseason, and our team has the potential to maybe get back to the playoffs this year. But I'm telling you, when the Royals win, everyone loves it. We are a baseball town more than football. We've had baseball in Kansas City a lot longer than football, even though the Chiefs are the talk of the town right now.
Right now.
But overall, I just know people love the Royals, and it's important that we preserve that history in a way that's accessible to all ages. And so the fact that this is like that hardcover, tons of pictures, great stories, but short stories. It's not a long-winded, 300-page novel. I mean, they're like 300 to 500 word vignettes about players, about eras, about years, just stories you've never heard of, entertaining stories, just to so we remember the beauty of the Royals and why we love them so much.
All right, then I'm gonna put you on the hook. Give me a little, give me a taste. Give me one of those little stories about you learned writing this book about the Royals. I'd love to hear one.
Okay, this is one of my favorite stories. So back in the 70s, we had a great second base shortstop combination, Freddie Pawtek and Cookie Rojas. So in 1976, 77, 78, we lost the American League Championship Series to the Yankees three times in a row. And those guys, when we faced the Yankees in 1980 in the American League Championship Series, they made a promise to each other that if we beat the Yankees and we went to the World Series, they were going to run out into the outfield and they were going to jump in the fountains to celebrate. So we beat the Yankees. And here goes Pawtek and Rojas sprinting out to the outfield to jump in the pond. Here's the problem. It's water and electricity.
Oh no.
And if they had jumped in with the electricity on, they would have been electrocuted. So the director of PR at the time knew this ahead of time because they've been talking about it and saw them running. And he's freaking out. He's like, "Turn off the electricity, turn off the electricity." And right before those guys jumped in, they turned off the electricity and they jumped in. They're celebrating and they're getting wet. And only after they got out of the water did they like tell them, "You could have died, you could have been electrocuted." And Pawtek's like, "Man, I'm glad you." And he was quoted as saying, "I'm glad they turned off the electricity, or we'd have been like two dead goldfish out there."
Oh, that would have been shocking. See, I've never heard that story, and oh my gosh, that could really have gone really badly, and then everybody would know that story. But I love that. If you don't mind, where did you go to find? Where were your best resources to find some of this stuff? Did you? I guess the real question is, was it all kind of book learning, or did you interview anybody from the team, or did meet people, or how did? What was your process as a writer to put this together?
That's a great question. The first thing I did was I reached out to Kurt Nelson. He's the senior director of the Kansas City Royals Hall of Fame. So he is basically the historical expert of this team. So I reached out to him, and he's written a book as well. And I was just like, okay, I need to write this book and I need it to be 100% accurate. I need it to be the best it can be. What should I do? And so he gave me some great sources. So online, there's the American Society of Baseball Researchers, SABR. And you go there and there's different in-depth articles about all these great players. So that was one of my first resources. There's Baseball Reference online for statistics that they have, like, game by game in the entire history of baseball as to, like, what the box score was when the Royals played the Yankees on May 6th of 1974. Like, you can find that online. So it was a lot of deep diving like that. And then there's a lot of resources like the Kansas City Star articles. You had New York Times articles. You had Sports Illustrated articles, kind of grabbing quotes from there that they had said. And then it was just reading a lot of Royals books. Denny Matthews wrote a book. I read Kurt Nelson's book. I read Jeff Montgomery's book. So I was just really soaking in. I spent like 3 months just soaking in as much information as I could before I even started writing, because I wanted this to be as accurate as possible. And then at the end, I sent it back to Kurt Nelson. I said, okay, can you read this and fact check it? And he caught just minor things, but he caught some things. So I tell everyone, if you find a factual error in my book, it's Kurt Nelson's fault, not mine.
Yeah, how generous of Kurt to do that, by the way.
Yes.
That's really, but you know, that signifies something that you have. It's the love for the team, you know. I mean, some authors might be like, oh, I don't know, competing book out there, but no, it's that rising tide lifting all boats and supporting our team. I'm curious about this, about you personally, Matt, since you have been a devoted fan for such a long time. When you started this, I bet you had a favorite all-time Royal. I just bet you did. Maybe you did. Maybe you did. Did you? Okay.
Of course.
Did that change after you wrote this book?
No. I mean, when I grew up, Bo Jackson was the man.
Yeah.
I just loved Bo. I modeled my batting stance after him. I struck out a lot just like he did. I loved Bo, and he was just, you know, can't miss TV.
Right.
I remember sitting in my driveway, cause the Royals were not on TV all the time back in the 80s. And I remember listening to Denny Matthews calling the game as the, Royals, I think it was the Yankees, when Bo Jackson ran up the wall after he caught the ball, the fly ball, and he couldn't stop his momentum. And he literally ran up the wall. And I was like, what? And I waited until the news that night, the sports, because I needed to see this video, you know, and just see him run up that wall. So Bo Jackson was definitely my favorite. And I hated it when he got hurt playing football and his career was cut short. But I also loved watching Mark Gubazaw pitch. I even sent Mark some baseball cards, and he was gracious enough to sign them and send them back to me. Oh, so as a 12-year-old or 13-year-old in Omaha, it was just a thrill. And I love those guys. And I'll tell you this story too. I love Brett Saberhagen, right? Uh-huh. I loved playing against Brett Saberhagen. I was working at Channel 5 when we were hosting the All-Star game. And so Brett Saberhagen actually came to the station, Channel 5, and I did a live interview with him, which was a thrill. And we had a wiffle ball and a bat. And so he threw me a pitch and I hit it. And I said, I can forever now say I got a hit off of Brett Saberhagen.
Oh my gosh. Let's pull back for a second on the game, if you would. I played T-ball from kindergarten through whatever, and then I played baseball until I was in eighth grade. I was not a natural athlete like you are, but I learned a lot playing baseball obviously about teamwork. I also learned a lot about riding the bench, and that's character building. Matt, I was always the kid who got, there was always the MVP kid, and then there was the most spirited kid. Guess which one your buddy Alex was. Okay, nothing wrong with that. But anyway, but I'm curious as to the relative success of soccer now. Mm-hmm. Of course, I grew up in Oklahoma City, and we didn't have soccer or anything like that. And I'm old, so that's part of it. Is baseball, I guess the question, wither baseball? Is baseball starting to fade, in your opinion? I've read a lot about viewership overall being way down for games. I've read that people are fed up with blackouts. I just read that there's just a lot of cynicism about the game. Well, look at the Shohei Ohtani scandal going on right now. I'd love it. I'm not asking you as a reporter. I'm asking you as a fan of baseball, lover of the game. Where are we with baseball? Where is America's love affair with baseball? Is it still the national pastime?
It's definitely not the national pastime. I mean, the NFL has far surpassed, as far as popularity and income, how much money they make. Baseball, I love baseball, you know, and they changed the rules. I think it's on the way up, but it's going to take time. They changed the rules, obviously, with the pitch clock, because people were complaining the games were too long, and now they're clocking in about 2 hours and 15 minutes, so it's not too much of investment on your time. We have a lot of young, exciting, upcoming players. You think about Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, what an athlete. He's so much fun to watch. And that's really what it comes down to is the players. You know, why are the Chiefs so popular right now? Because people love Patrick Mahomes. I mean, the guy is doing things no one's ever seen him do. And it's the same with Bobby Witt Jr. You see him at shortstop and the things he does at shortstop. We've never seen really a Royal shortstop with that much athleticism, reaching balls and making plays that he's doing. You don't want to miss it. It was like when Bo Jackson was playing, people, Royals viewership and fandom went up because people didn't want to miss it. So it comes down to the players and Shohei Ohtani. Hopefully that's just nothing. Hopefully he knew nothing about the gambling and he'll be acquitted. I mean, we don't know, but he's an exciting player to watch. And that's really what it comes down to. Will baseball come back? That's a really good question. I certainly hope so, because I'm with you. I love the game. In fact, I mean, I played college football and I love baseball more than football as far as watching it.
I was going to say that. You're a football guy. You know,
baseball's a thinking man's game, you know? What's he going to throw here? You know, where's he going to throw it in the zone? Are they going to react to it? I mean, I love it. I don't think it's too slow. I love it.
Well, I got to admit, there's some great, especially an afternoon game when you're there with a buddy, you have a dog and some beers and okay, not going to lie. You look away from the game a little bit and then so there's a, oh, hey, but that is great to me. But I don't know. I took my kid to a game and it didn't click with her and I felt bad and I was probably not the best ambassador for it. You know, I'm not as passionate, but I must admit I took her to Chiefs games because I'm more of a football guy and she loves that. So, but I get that. I just wanted to ask you about that because I asked a lot of my friends and colleagues who are big baseball fans and they're all kind of, not all, but mostly a little doom and gloom about the popularity. But I'll just pause at this and then we can move past this part of it. But I would just say that, hey, look, if it's a smaller game, fine. There's still, I think it's never going to go away. I just think that, like you said, they're making some changes to the game, make it more accessible for today's people. And I hope that works. I really do. People come together over baseball. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
Although, and I will get your take on this, speaking about coming together, the Royals made a move to get a new stadium downtown. I think a lot of people are for that concept, but they definitely were not for this particular plan and the way it was handled. And I know I'm not asking you to editorialize. I'm just asking, what is your reporting and your reporting as uncovered about this? If you wouldn't mind just explaining it to the listeners, just 30 seconds, what was going on and then what your take is and what you're hearing on the street about what may happen next.
I don't know if I can explain in 30 seconds.
It's a little tight. If they could have done it in 30 seconds, they might have got it passed. But anyway,
right? Well, I will tell you this. I think that the Royals did not do a very good job of communicating and getting all their ducks in a row before the vote. But also, in defense of the Royals, the Crossroads District for putting the stadium there was not even on their radar until late in the game. So they were so focused on the East Village and in Clay County that's where all their attention went to. And so they put it on the ballot thinking, okay, we're either going to build an East Village or up north of the river. And then all of a sudden, last minute, oh, the Crossroads would be great. That would be the best place. Okay, well, now you've got to talk to all the business owners and you've got to get everyone on board and you've got to explain what's going on. And they didn't have that information and everyone wanted it. And all of a sudden it's a vote. And the Royals, they didn't start making agreements and really get everyone on board until a couple of days before the vote even happened. Yeah. And by that time, the outspoken, you know, no vote, we don't want to ruin the Crossroads, had kind of come out and influenced the voting public. The problem is the Crossroads is great. Don't get me wrong. I love the Crossroads. It's a great art district. But there are a lot of abandoned buildings down there, right? It's not like it's this thriving business community and it's like packed with people all the time.
Right.
Think about, you put a baseball stadium there. 81 days a year, you're bringing 30 to 40,000 people downtown to that area. All the Crossroads businesses are going to benefit from it. And, you know, they get to keep their locality, their uniqueness. It's not like the Royals were going to go in there and tear everything down and make it all corporate. I mean, people still own buildings and they can still, you know, bring in these local businesses and they were going to work with them. Will it get built in the Crossroads? I don't know. I'll tell you, my gut says that I wouldn't be surprised if the Royals decide to go to Clay County and build it north of the river, because it's been really hard working with Jackson County lawmakers. You know, Frank White, you know, love him as a Royals baseball player. But as the county executive, you know, there's been a lot of pushback from him against his former team.
Yeah.
There's a lot of animosity there, I think, between the two parties. And so I don't know. I think a Crossroads ballpark could work if everyone was on board, but you need more time for that. And the Royals just didn't have enough time to get everyone on board.
Yeah, Matt, 100%. I'm a PR guy. And I was watching this just in stunned amazement at how, I can say that, I'll editorialize, how poorly they did that. To your point, your reporting, thank you for your reporting on that, explaining that to people. It's like, folks, people started to feel like this is some kind of shell game or a bait and switch or what's going on here. And I don't have, and you know, you're asking people to make a major commitment,
yep,
a major financial commitment. And there wasn't a lot of there. And then speaking of the Chiefs, is like, then all of a sudden the Chiefs are like, pretty nice couple of franchises you got here. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. That kind of, you know, that kind of hinting around that, well, we could leave. It didn't set right with so many people. I was very embarrassed for both parties because this is a sports town and I love both teams and I want them to stay and thrive. But come on, guys, you got to, I think the thing is, you've already said it, I'll just play nice, play by the rules, treat the fans and the taxpayers with a little more respect than they did in this process, and maybe something will happen. So I'm glad to hear that. By the way, you don't have to comment on this, but they're not going to Kansas. I just cannot see the Chiefs going to Kansas. Please give me a break. Well, we'll knock down the Cerner buildings and put the stadium there. Yeah, right. It ain't happening. I will bet big money it will never happen. But anyway, that's my opinion. Matt Stewart, where can we get this visual, historical, and just downright fun treat of a book?
I would love it if people went to my website. It's mattstewartbooks.com. Free shipping. And I'll sign it and I'll send it off to you. I'll tell you, Alex, the biggest problem for authors is competing with Amazon.
Because Amen, brother.
Amazon basically undercuts everyone.
Yep.
And the difference is if you buy my book on Amazon, Amazon takes everything, basically. Yep. I mean, the authors in general make like 5% of the cost of the book. Amazon takes the rest.
Right.
And hey, good for them, right? I mean, this is corporate America.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you go to an author's website, buy it directly from them, then they're going to get the majority of the profit. You know, we still have a cost. I mean, I buy each and every one of these books from my publisher and then I resell them. So, you know, it's just helping me to pay back my costs. But yeah, if people go to mattstewartbooks.com and leave a review on Amazon, that'd be great.
That's how you do it. I was getting ready to say that, Matt. And folks, listen up. You know, I always say this, and I'm saying it particularly about my local fellow authors here. Do that. And Matt, what's lovely and smart and fun about Matt is he does this. He commits to it. He autographed it for you. This is the best. Think about this. Buy it now. And you got the baseball fan in your life's Christmas present taken yes. care of. Get it
Father's
taken
Day
care
gift.
Of. Father's
Day gift.
You know, you're 100%. I didn't even think about that.
Coming
you
up.
Know what? You got to do it. And while you're at it, you could get the Unique Eats book to go.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Right. Let's
get
let's
them both. Package deal.
Let's take care of this. Let's do this. I mean,
and a t-shirt. Get a Kansas City baseball t-shirt.
Is that your store? Is that from your store?
I designed this. I designed and made it. We just wanted kind of a fun add-on. It's a real soft t-shirt, but it's kind of something fun. It's different from the Royal stuff you usually get, you know, kind of unique.
Oh, I would have thought that was like some official gear. That's beautiful.
And well, is it? Thank you.
And is that, you said soft, because I cannot stand those real cheap.
It's tri-blend. Oh, I sleep in these things. They're like so soft.
Okay. Well, it looks like I'll be buying a t-shirt. Matt Stewart, anything else real quick? Well, before I let you go here, you're so generous with your time as usual. And you know, I just want to thank you for adding another volume to Kansas City's history. Literally, this is such a great thing you're doing.
No, thanks for having me. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to share these stories. I mean, I think the biggest thing is that for me, I love history. I think it's really important that we remember history, that we honor those people who came before us and remember their stories. And so what I did with this, I really have a ton of player profiles, like all the best players in Royals history, starting with Lou Piniella. You know, he was the first rookie of the year in 1969, sharing those stories and the unique things that you never knew about these players will help you better appreciate them. They'll help you better appreciate this franchise. Regardless of what you think about the whole stadium thing going on, don't let that take away from this team and these players and these boys in blue that are heading out there each and every day in the summer, playing for our entertainment, trying to win games, bringing excitement to the team. Think about 2015, how together, how much unity the Royals gave to our city. And we owe them so much. So let's not throw this team away. Let's honor them and remember them. And the best way to do that I read my book.
God, couldn't say it better myself.
Like a commercial, a used car salesman.
Oh, no, nah, you're way smoother than that. Again, Matt Stewart's an Emmy Award-winning anchor and reporter at Fox 4 News in Kansas City. Remember, he is also the author of Unique Eats and Eateries of Kansas City. But just go to his website and buy a great T-shirt, all these great books, and maybe Matt will write a new book, and I'll get him back on the show next time. So again, Matt Stewart, thank you so much. We appreciate getting the chance to catch up with you.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate you.
Thanks for joining us on Mysterious Goings On. Be sure to follow Mysterious Goings On wherever you get your podcast and never miss an episode. Don't forget, you can get the links to books and other things mentioned on the show at mgopod.com. Until next time, keep reading.